We can continue now.
Thank you. When you have ones with this diversified background coming from different nations, it sometimes gives you a little bit different perspective. The gentleman from Holland was the most assertive in the questioning, and when we got to the subject of the Holocaust and how you cannot just go out into all of the nations like Canada and Germany and Holland and England and start spouting off these things, because while you weren't looking, laws were passed, and you may not counter publicly that which is the orthodox view. And my statement was, mathematically, according to arithmetic, factual arithmetic, the Holocaust could not have happened as it was presented. That does not mean there was not heinous crime. But we are talking about the Holocaust as presented. There could not have been 6.5 million Jews slain. Period. Well, then, of course, you get the contradiction. No, there were only 6 million. No, they added 500,000 this year. There were not that many there. And more, and we didn't even get to this point, the Jews who are now claiming retribution from Germany are more than they had on the books as listed as being in the death camps. So mathematically, it does not equate. And you'll have to hearken back to silent weapons for quiet wars. Everything is based on mathematics. Look at the computer. You see, Dorma's head at the time that I am utilizing it is simply taking digits, pulses. And your computer works with ones and zeros. That's all the language. These things you can go look up. And when something does not mathematically add up, what do? They make a law that says you can't question it. Be very careful when these things come up. But I cannot urge listeners enough to get those particular tapes, because these are the times when we're a little short on time. We have advanced beings that I'm talking to, and I know what they're here for. I know what their purpose is. And of course, they wanted me to tell them. Well, that's not in the game. You're going to find out. And the only way you can find out is by reading enough of the information to see where you fit. And I'm not going to let you cop out by my just sitting down and holding your hand and saying, now, precious one, this is what you're here for. Because I can tell you right now, this is what you're here for, to get this transition done and to get the word out. And the other details can very easily be worked out amongst man in integration with us, so that we're not treading on each other's toes. Go ahead, Doberly, please.
What is the name of our solar system?
It's basically referred to as the Shan Sun system. Basically, I say that because it has been known by many systems. But right now, Earth... You see, Earth is a simple term that could be applied to any planet in any language. Terra means Earth. Dirt, viable, life-sustaining planet material. And by and large, your planet is known by numbers. Your solar system is recognized by digits, and they mean nothing. So, the oldest and most accepted name of Earth is Shan. It's got a lot of others too, but it's Shan. And so we are always referring to what is happening in your solar system by your sun, and we call it Shan Sun. That's the focus in your orbiting system at this particular time.
The Pleiades seems like a very big system containing seven different solar systems about a central sun. Is the Pleiades defined as a galaxy or a super solar system?
It is defined as a universe, and you're only seventh out. There are many more.
Does our solar system travel around Alcyone in a circle or an ellipse?
Actually, an ellipse. Most of everything travels in elliptical orbit. It's very difficult to have a certain, sure circle where you maintain the same distance all the way around. And you can look at your heavens and see that it's not appropriate.
What is the radius of our orbit around Alcyone?
Oh, I'm not, I wouldn't even attempt to go into that. You're 500 light years away. It's a long way.
What is the velocity of which our solar system is traveling around Alcyone?
Very fast. You can calculate that too. Every what, 24,000 years, you're going to enter the photon belt, which is 2,000 year. So I leave that to you, mathematicians.
Let me argue with you about that. It seems that it's more like 12,000, well, actually 2,000,
well,
10,000.
It's 10 and 2 and 10.
That's right. So you go through the belt twice in 24,000 years. What system is the Pleiades system orbiting around? The Milky Way galaxy?
No. No. And it's not like that. And I don't think I would be able to explain it. You have most of the visible constellations in your sky are basically orbiting in their own little odd cycles around Pleiades. And yet you will find Pleiades in varying locations, which would make you think that it is cycling around you. But then all of you thought the sun circled around Earth. So what you see out there is not what you get. And you are into out of space, far out astronomy now. And your own astronomers cannot either verify what I say, nor make any heads nor tails out of it. And we are just wasting time. I understand the curiosity. These things will be made known as you evolve.
He concludes with, "Do I sound like a little child who can't stop asking questions? I feel like one, so I will stop here and ask for your understanding from Dirk."
And I do.
Regarding the facts from J.B. Brunel, discuss a bit more about replication and why I don't write a whole journal about the same.
Well, I've written a good part of one on the subject of replication, and there just simply is not that much to say. Unless you are into the technical DNA structure analysis as a scientist. My purpose on this place is not to tell every one of you how to go out and replicate something. But you would know if you hybridize a tree or you plant a kernel of corn, you're going to get a kernel of corn. If you alter the corn, you may get a larger kernel. You're basically going to end up with a piece of corn. The same with peas and beans. If you interbreed broccoli and cauliflower, you're going to get broccoflower or something. I don't know. It's green. It's ridiculous. But this seems to fit the palate and the color taste of someone's better. So you're going to have to realize that everything works on a DNA. And if you crossbreed things, you're going to get crossbred things in return. If you take a particle, a cell, and you reproduce from its blueprint, its DNA and genetic structure, you're going to get whatever it was reproduced. If you supply it with all of these necessary things. Someone wrote and said, well, you know, she could hardly stand the vision of all these little bodies growing in great test tubes. Perhaps it's not too good a vision. And they don't have to grow in the test tube forever, just like a baby. They come right out of the test tube, and then they absorb from the air and the nutrients given to them. It is not very mystical. It is strange. And you don't know how to do it, but there are plenty of ones on your planet who do. And it's like running a television. How many of you absolutely know every component part of a television? And if I were interested enough to go through it, which I am not, would you know how to connect it to make it work? Let's be reasonable. You ask about the functioning of a universe. And in 20 minutes, you're bored because the meeting is going on and you still don't know. Use intelligence. I do not feel that any question is dumb, stupid, or I just don't feel that way about questions. Any question asked, I honor if it is asked in sincerity. And sometimes just expressing the question brings the answer. So I do not object to that kind of questioning. But please think beyond. You're going to have to, of all ones on this planet, you are going to have to think of the whole. And it is not necessary that everyone know how to grow algae, except in your fish bowl, in your fish tank, as a survival resource for you. And you don't have to do that. I'm just telling you how you can make it through. So let's be reasonable about our questions. Many, many questions, and this is what happened with the gentleman the other day, and about money, and questions about dark objects near an airplane he built, etc., etc., etc. These are testing questions to try to get some personal handle on Hatton. And I have to express this over and over. I'm not here for your testing. I'm not here for your individual manifestation of belief system. You are here because you must have something to do with this transition, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have bothered to come, or you wouldn't certainly have bothered to come twice. And we'll get there. I can only tell you what we're going to do. As we do it, as we move through, give you truth so that you can come in enlightened. But no, I don't have to tell you Aunt Minnie's maiden name. And if I did, that would be absolutely the last thing upon which I would base my feelings of security about a speaker. A good psychic could tell you that. Anybody who can look within and remember can tell you that. So I just have to remind you once, you can test all you want to, but I know when you're testing, and I may be ungracious. This was not a test. I just use this opportunity to say some things are just too involved and too big, and I'm not going to bore everybody by breaking it down. I can take white cells, red cells, T cells, lymphocytes, all of these things, and it wouldn't mean a hill of beans to anybody except a biochemist. Let's have another question.
Did Ross Perot sell the land which now houses the Mint in Fort Worth to the government? Also, please discuss Perot's connection to the elite.
Perot is a Rockefeller friend, and he is one of the elite. I don't know about the land. I haven't any interest in the land. If the government came to you and you had land for sale, wouldn't you sell it? Now let's be reasonable about what we're talking about. Ross Perot is a man from Texas, an honorable man, at least he was, trying to do something for his nation. But he has now been projected out into the field to protect the interests of one such as Henry Kissinger. If this election doesn't go well, and you once again you are expecting me to tell you how your system works, when there aren't, that you should in this room know, but I bet most of you in this room have forgotten. You have to have 270 electoral votes to be elected. If no one candidate gets 270, it goes to the House of Representatives for decision, for voting. And they only consider the top three candidates. In this case, it would be Bush, Clinton, and Perot. So they have covered their bases. Had Bogreitz been able to get to Perot first, there may have been enough substance left to the man to have seen. And together the team might have been able to pull it off. Bogreitz, I see no hope for Bo to win. That doesn't mean that you ones should stop supporting him, because he is being groomed to come and pull the remnant together after the fact. Next, please.
Would you please discuss briefly the Georgia Guidestones, which is on the tape?
Yes, and we're going to see if this works. Some of these subjects are so very important that I wanted Dorma to be able to share, give her a little break, you a little break, and I didn't want to leave specific things out, and sometimes things need to be read onto the tape. And so let's see how this goes. While we are answering these questions, one very, very important inquiry has been brought to my doorstep, and it is the information petitioned regarding the Georgia Guidestones.
Hold
which
it,
is obviously a message and mystery for mankind.
Oberly, would you? Does anybody in this room, and please speak up because we're sitting here with eyes shut, does anybody in this room know about the Georgia Guidestones?
All of the answers are no.
Yes, all right. Go ahead, please.
This particular monument stands in Elberton County, and it seems to have a great deal of mystery to it. I would like to, first of all, just run through the kind of information available regarding it, because obviously it now is open as a tourist attraction, and it has been referred to as the Greystone or America's Stonehenge. Pretty good correlation, I would say, if you could understand anything left about Stonehenge, giving you time and places, but not as succinct messages. These are updated messages and guidelines put forth for your ones to see. This is near Atlanta, Georgia. I'm not going to go into the particulars about why a place would be chosen, such as Atlanta, it doesn't really matter. It is where the information should have been put, was put, and ones were put there to be available to handle the task at hand. I am asked if the ones who did this were responsible for this were actually Pleiadians. I can only tell you that all information as to your guide steps now or Pleiadian. So let us have a look at this. And maybe I could just read, since I want to cover information to the best of my ability as it is presented to you. And then what does not make sense from it, I can clarify. The Georgia Guidestones, A Message and Mystery for Mankind. Elberton Granite's reputation as one of the world's best monumental stones, Elbert County's geographic location and fate seem to be the key elements in why one of the nation's most unusual monuments was unveiled near Elberton March 22nd. Called America.
Oberly, can you? I don't know. We need a little better communication, I think. When we speak of Elberton granite, that is a granite formation. This is the hardest. It's beautiful, but it is the most durable, hardest granite on your globe. That's why it was chosen.
Because Stonehenge, after the mysterious monuments in England, which have puzzled men for ages, the Georgia Guidestones has attracted nationwide publicity and promises to become a major tourist attraction. Overwhelming in size and steeped in enigma, the Guidestones was revealed to the nation in the winter 1979. Elberton Graniteer, and is as much a mystery now as it was then, and probably still will be when man ceases to record his history. The gargantuan six-piece monument stands 19 feet high in the beautiful hill country 8 miles north of Elberton and proclaims a message for the conservation of mankind. Its origins and sponsors are unknown, and hence the mystery. This is a very challenging project, is it not, Chilos? The components were manufactured from Elberton Granite Finishing Company, Incorporated. Pyramid Blue Granite. And the firm's president, Joe H. Findlay, Sr., said the project was one of the most challenging ever for his quarrying and monument manufacturing concern, partly because of the magnitude of the materials, and partly because of the exacting specifications from the mysterious group of sponsors. And those specifications were so precise that they had to be compiled by experts on stone as well as construction. This is according to Mr. Findlay. He said it all began late on a Friday afternoon in June when a well-dressed and articulate man walked into his offices on the Tate Street Extension in Elberton and wanted to know the cost of building a large monument to conservation. He identified himself only as Mr. Christian. He told Findlay that he represented a small group of loyal Americans living outside Georgia, who wished to remain anonymous forever, and that he chose the name Christian because he was a Christian. He inquired where Findlay banked, and Joe put him in touch with both local banks. Wyatt C. Martin, president of the Granite City Bank, was selected by Mr. Christian to be the intermediary for the mysterious project. According to Martin, the man showed up at his office 30 minutes later, explained the project, and said after completion, he hoped other conservation-minded groups would erect even more stones
in an outer ring and carry the monument's message in more languages. He told Martin that he wanted the monument erected in a remote area away from the main tourist centers. The gentleman also said that Georgia was selected because of the availability of excellent granite, generally mild climate, and the fact that his great-grandmother was a native Georgian. So Elbert County was chosen. Martin persuaded the mystery man that Elbert County was the ideal location for the memorial, and he agreed, provided a suitable location could be found. He returned later, and he and Martin inspected sites. Mr. Christian, who now called himself R.C. Christian, chose a 5-acre plot on the farm of contractor Wayne Melinute. It is the highest point in Elbert County.
A few weeks later,
Martin contacted Joe Finley and told him that funds for the project were in an escrow account and to start work immediately. Martin promised that when the project was completed, he would deliver his file on the affair to the anonymous sponsors and that the secret would never be known. He said Christian told him that the sponsors had planned the monument for years and that the 10 guides for the conservation of mankind and the earth were carefully worded as a moralistic appeal to all peoples, regardless of nationality, religion, or politics. As explained, and I would wish at some point to be able to have this information verbatim for you because it is extremely interesting, but this has just been unveiled, and therefore it is a little bit difficult for ones to come into contact with it and then come into contact with me because I want it from as human a route as I got the information so far. It's important that you ones began to really look at what is going on around you to get your confirmation and not just have me tattling ideas and touting information, even though you can go look it up. It's better if you discover it. And this information thus far has come from one called Betty Citron, who dwells in Georgia. And I'm in great appreciation for this. At any rate, this was to be a moralistic appeal to all peoples, regardless of nationality, religion, or politics. As explained in the photo essay, which we do not have, the conservation messages are in 8 languages. The guides are inscribed in 8 different languages on 4 huge stones set in a paddle wheel arrangement with the center stone carved and drilled so that the sun will mark the time of day and the seasons. The guides, which are accompanied by 10 explanatory precepts in the specification, are: maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature, guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity, unite humanity with a living new language, rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason, protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts, let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court, avoid petty laws and useless officials, balance personal rights with social duties, prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite, and be not a cancer upon the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. This has been given unto you ones. I would like to repeat these guides. I would like to tell you that the languages include the archaic languages of Sanskrit, Babylonian cuneiform, Egyptian hieroglyphics, and classical Greek. In addition, English, Russian, Hebrew, Arabic, Hindi, Chinese, Spanish, and Swahili. There is a very important reason for this. I believe that you are probably getting a little bit unnerved at this point. Why would such a thing need to be erected? Is it possible that your planet will become uninhabitable, and that as ones come back for special reasons from other places, they will find this and historically go in search of documents to match these various and sundry languages? Is it possible that this monument will rest in perpetuity beneath waters, beneath the seas? Because things very similar to this will now be rising from your ocean beds, even as we speak. So let's go over and look again at these guides. And let us add a little explanatory precept, as it were, so that you can get a feeling of what is intended. Maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. This means, precious ones, the entire human race at its climax level for permanent balance with nature on a planet the size of Earth. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. So without going into details as yet undiscovered by you ones, this means humanity should apply reason and knowledge to guiding its own reproduction. Fitness could be translated as health, you know. Diversity might well be translated as variety. Keep these things in mind. Unite humanity with a living new language. A living language grows and changes with advancing knowledge, you must understand. A new language will be devoted de novo and need not necessarily be adapted from any language now in existence. So please don't even plan on it being as you now recognize it. You will, for instance, have the Mayans returning, the ancient Aztecs returning, and they're going to have their own language to be integrated into whatever language will become the spoken language. And this is for the universal understanding of man as he becomes knowledgeable. You must rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Always, Chilos, you must act in reason according to the instructions from your Creator and according to the free will gift of reason that has been gifted unto you. So let us look. Faith herein might be used as a religious sense or in a religious sense. As in faith of that which is higher. I would say that too often people are ruled by blind faith, of which I see no reason, nor should you, because blind faith indicates blindness and lack of perception, and you have proof of higher creativity. And reason must always be tempered with compassion. But reason must be the prevailing factor. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Courts must consider justice as well as law, precious Chelas. And you have forgotten that. Let all nations rule, internally resolving external disputes in a world court. Individual nations must be free to develop their own destinies at home as their own people wish. But you may not abuse your neighbors. And the only one world government type of anything that you must have is a just world court to resolve any kind of outside dispute. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. And I cannot imagine that that is not totally self-explanatory. You must balance personal rights with social duties. Individuals have a natural concern for their personal welfare. But precious ones, man is a social animal and must also be concerned for the group as a whole. And the failure of society means failure for its individual citizens. So you must always, always have concern for personal welfare. Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. The infinite here, precious one, means creator or the supreme being. And through that supreme being, whose will is manifest in the workings of the cosmos, can be seen if you will only seek it and receive it. And lastly, be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. That is stressed by repetition. I suggest you once listen and leave room for nature. For in your time, the growth of humanity is totally destroying the natural conditions of the earth, which has fostered all living life. You have foisted off upon it a load it cannot bear. Therefore, reason balance must be restored. I don't think really at this time, nor at any time, should I have to further explain these subjects. I have 56 journals. That tells you the same thing. And now, information is being inscribed for the generations of civilizations to come after you, to be found, if that becomes necessary, by ones who have long since have departed your planet and would return in a cleansed state to re-inhabit the planet. Or, if man can be brought to his senses in understanding that it need not expire as a planet, as laid forth, this will be a standing monument to guide you. There will be a place of evacuation and security in the location of this particular monument to be utilized as necessary as these plans move forward in evolvement. This is not a carelessly laid project. I suggest you pay close attention to what flows back to you regarding it, because already the adversary is trying to find ways to destroy it. He cannot destroy it. It will not be tampered with nor touched. So the next best thing is to not let you know about it. Please keep it in your hearts.
The time you've waited for has arrived. You wonder what God will do. He did exactly what he did with the one called Moses. Was that one's name Moses actually? Does it matter? Could it have been Mr. Finley? Or could it have been the one called Christian? It matters not, the labels, because infinity holds the soul, which comes from the One. And you ones wish to always take these matters and pull them into little parts that you can somehow digest, when it's the whole that has meaning. Just as you were given guidelines, lo, those many, many centuries passed, to guide you in balance as life form upon a planet, your adversary came and pulled you away from the proper direction. Always stood somewhere the emerald tablets with the guidelines. Very simple. Only 10 of them. Handled in balance would leave all life in balance. And one say, why? Why has it come to this? Because you have not followed the guides. You have chosen to vote in activities which bring all life forms into unbalance. And all life forms are everything there is. And you're related to it. You're attached to it. You cannot actually even survive without it. God again has sent forth his messengers to prepare the words again for you. It has been inscribed on the hardest stone to withstand whatever comes. There's a reason, in addition, that it is in the area of Georgia, near Atlanta. There is a massive, massive underground facility under Atlanta, utilized by your elite. That's why you ones will be finding, and have already, and may even find it rather interesting to note, why is so much attention given to Atlanta, Georgia? Why does everyone dash off to Atlanta for this, that, or the other? Why are the centers for diseases and the study of health and diseases in Atlanta, Georgia? Why would that not be in the facilities of your national government?
Excuse me, Commander. We need to change the tape, please. We can continue now.
Thank you. when you have ones with this diversified background coming from different nations, it sometimes gives you a little bit different perspective. The gentleman from Holland was the most assertive in the questioning. And when we got to the subject of the Holocaust and how you cannot just go out into all of the nations like Canada and Germany and Holland and England and start spouting off these things, because while you weren't looking, laws were passed, and you may not counter publicly that which is the orthodox view. And my statement was, mathematically, according to arithmetic, factual arithmetic, the Holocaust could not have happened as it was presented. That does not mean there was not heinous crime. But we are talking about the Holocaust as presented. There could not have been 6.5 million Jews slain. Period. Well, then, of course, you get the contradiction. No, there were only 6 million. No, they added 500,000 this year. There were not that many there. And more, and we didn't even get to this point, the Jews who are now claiming retribution from Germany are more than they had on the books as listed as being in the death camps. So mathematically, it does not equate. And you'll have to hearken back to silent weapons for quiet wars. Everything is based on mathematics. Look at the computer. You see, Dorma's head, at the time that I am utilizing it, is simply taking digits, pulses. And your computer works with ones and zeros. That's all the language. These things you can go look up. And when something does not mathematically add up, what do? They make a law that says you can't question it. Be very careful when these things come up. But I cannot urge listeners enough to get those particular tapes, because these are the times when we're a little short on time. We have advanced beings that I'm talking to, and I know what they're here for. I know what their purpose is. And of course, they wanted me to tell them. Well, that's not in the game. You're going to find out. And the only way you can find out is by reading enough of the information to see where you fit. And I'm not going to let you cop out by my just sitting down and holding your hand and saying, now, precious one, this is what you're here for. Because I can tell you right now, this is what you're here for, to get this transition done and to get the word out. And the other details can very easily be worked out amongst man in integration with us, so that we're not treading on each other's toes. Go ahead, Doberly, please.
What is the name of our solar system?
It's basically referred to as the Shan Sun system. Basically, I say that because it has been known by many systems. But right now, Earth... You see, Earth is a simple term that could be applied to any planet in any language. Terra means Earth. Dirt, viable life-sustaining planet material. And by and large, your planet is known by numbers. Your solar system is recognized by digits, and they mean nothing. So, the oldest and most accepted name of Earth is Shan. It's got a lot of others too, but it's Shan. And so we are always referring to what is happening in your solar system by your sun, and we call it Shan Sun. That's the focus in your orbiting system at this particular time.
The Pleiades seems like a very big system containing seven different solar systems about a central sun. Is the Pleiades defined as a galaxy or a super solar system?
It is defined as a universe, and you're only seventh out. There are many more.
Does our solar system travel around Alcyon in a circle or an ellipse?
Actually an ellipse. Most of everything travels in elliptical orbit. It's very difficult to have a certain, sure circle where you maintain the same distance all the way around. And you can look at your heavens and see that it's not appropriate.
What is the radius of our orbit around Alcyon?
Oh, I'm not, I wouldn't even attempt to go into that. You're 500 light years away. It's a long way.
What is the velocity of which our solar system is traveling around Alcyon?
Very fast. You can calculate that too. Every 24,000 years, you're going to enter the photon belt, which is 2,000 year. So I leave that to you, mathematicians.
Let me argue with you about that. It seems that it's more like 12,000, well, actually 2,000,
well,
10,000.
It's 10 plus and 2 and 10.
That's right. So you go through the belt twice in 24,000 years. What system is the Pleiades system orbiting around? The Milky Way galaxy?
No. No. And it's not like that. And I don't think I would be able to explain it. You have most of the visible constellations in your sky are basically orbiting in their own little odd cycles around Pleiades. And yet you will find Pleiades in varying locations, which would make you think that it is cycling around you. But then all of you thought the sun circled around Earth. So what you see out there is not what you get. And you are into out of space, far out astronomy now. And your own astronomers cannot either verify what I say, nor make any heads nor tails out of it. And we are just wasting time. I understand the curiosity. These things will be made known as you evolve.
He concludes with, "Do I sound like a little child who can't stop asking questions? I feel like one, so I will stop here and ask for your understanding from Dirk."
And I do.
Regarding the facts from J.B. Brunel, discuss a bit more about replication and why I don't write a whole journal about the same.
Well, I've written a good part of one on the subject of replication, and there just simply is not that much to say. Unless you are into the technical DNA structure analysis as a scientist. My purpose on this place is not to tell every one of you how to go out and replicate something. But you would know if you hybridize a tree or you plant a kernel of corn, you're going to get a kernel of corn. If you alter the corn, you may get a larger kernel. You're basically going to end up with a piece of corn. The same with peas and beans. If you interbreed broccoli and cauliflower, you're going to get broccoflower or something. I don't know. It's green. It's ridiculous. But this seems to fit the palate and the color taste of someone's better. So you're going to have to realize that everything works on a DNA. And if you crossbreed things, you're going to get crossbred things in return. If you take a particle, a cell, and you reproduce from its blueprint, its DNA and genetic structure, you're going to get whatever it was reproduced. If you supply it with all of these necessary things. Someone wrote and said, well, you know, she could hardly stand the vision of all these little bodies growing in great test tubes. Perhaps it's not too good a vision. And they don't have to grow in the test tube forever, just like a baby. They come right out of the test tube, and then they absorb from the air and the nutrients given to them. It is not very mystical. It is strange, and you don't know how to do it. But there are plenty of ones on your planet who do. And it's like running a television. How many of you absolutely know every component part of a television? And if I were interested enough to go through it, which I am not, would you know how to connect it to make it work? Let's be reasonable. You ask about the functioning of a universe, and in 20 minutes you're bored because the meeting is going on and you still don't know. Use intelligence. I do not feel that any question is dumb, stupid, or I just don't feel that way about questions. Any question asked, I honor if it is asked in sincerity. And sometimes just expressing the question brings the answer. So I do not object to that kind of questioning. But please think beyond. You're going to have to, of all ones on this planet, you are going to have to think of the whole. And it is not necessary that everyone know how to grow algae, except in your fish bowl, in your fish tank, as a survival resource for you. And you don't have to do that. I'm just telling you how you can make it through. So let's be reasonable about our questions. Many, many questions, and this is what happened with the gentleman the other day, and about money, and questions about dark objects near an airplane he built, etc., etc., etc. These are testing questions to try to get some personal handle on Hatton. And I have to express this over and over. I'm not here for your testing. I'm not here for your individual manifestation of belief system. You are here because you must have something to do with this transition, or you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have bothered to come, or you wouldn't certainly have bothered to come twice. And we'll get there. I can only tell you what we're going to do as we do it, as we move through, give you truth so that you can come in enlightened. But no, I don't have to tell you Aunt Minnie's maiden name. And if I did, that would be absolutely the last thing upon which I would base my feelings of security about a speaker. A good psychic could tell you that. Anybody who can look within and remember can tell you that. So I just have to remind you once, you can test all you want to, but I know when you're testing, and I may be ungracious. This was not a test. I just use this opportunity to say some things are just too involved and too big. And I'm not going to bore everybody by breaking it down. I can take white cells, red cells, T cells, lymphocytes, all of these things, and it wouldn't mean a hill of beans to anybody except a biochemist. Let's have another question.
did Ross Perot sell the land which now houses the Mint in Fort Worth to the government? Also, please discuss Perot's connection to the elite.
Perot is a Rockefeller friend, and he is one of the elite. I don't know about the land. I haven't any interest in the land. If the government came to you and you had land for sale, wouldn't you sell it? Now let's be reasonable about what we're talking about. Ross Perot is a man from Texas, an honorable man, at least he was, trying to do something for his nation. But he has now been projected out into the field to protect the interests of one such as Henry Kissinger. If this election doesn't go well, and you once again you are expecting me to tell you how your system works, when there aren't, that you should in this room know, but I bet most of you in this room have forgotten. You have to have 270 electoral votes to be elected. If no one candidate gets 270, it goes to the House of Representatives for decision, for voting. And they only consider the top three candidates. In this case, it would be Bush, Clinton, and Perot. So they have covered their bases. Had Bogreitz been able to get to Perot first, there may have been enough substance left to the man to have seen. And together the team might have been able to pull it off. Bogreitz, I see no hope for Bo to win. That doesn't mean that you ones should stop supporting him, because he is being groomed to come and pull the remnant together after the fact. Next, please.
Would you please discuss briefly the Georgia Guidestones, which is on the tape?
Yes, and we're going to see if this works. Some of these subjects are so very important that I wanted Dorma to be able to share, give her a little break, you a little break, and I didn't want to leave specific things out, and sometimes things need to be read onto the tape. And so let's see how this goes.
While we are answering these questions, one very, very important inquiry has been brought to my doorstep, and it is the information petitioned regarding the Georgia Guidestones.
Hold
which
it,
is obviously a message and mystery for mankind.
Oberly, would you? Does anybody in this room, and please speak up because we're sitting here with eyes shut. Does anybody in this room know about the Georgia Guidestones?
All of the answers are no.
Yes, all right. Go ahead, please.
This particular monument stands in Elberton County, and it seems to have a great deal of mystery to it. I would like to, first of all, just run through the kind of information available regarding it, because obviously it now is open as a tourist attraction, and it has been referred to as, oh, the Greystone or America's Stonehenge. Pretty good correlation, I would say, if you could understand anything left about Stonehenge, giving you time and places, but not as succinct messages. These are updated messages and guidelines put forth for your ones to see. This is near Atlanta, Georgia. I'm not going to go into the particulars about why a place would be chosen such as Atlanta, it doesn't really matter. It is where the information should have been put, was put, and ones were put there to be available to handle the task at hand. I am asked if the ones who did this were responsible for this were actually Pleiadians. I can only tell you that all information as to your guide steps now are Pleiadian. Let us have a look at this. And maybe I could just read, since I want to cover information to the best of my ability as it is presented to you. And then what does not make sense from it, I can clarify. The Georgia Guidestones, A Message and Mystery for Mankind. Elberton Granite's reputation as one of the world's best monumental stones, Elbert County's geographic location and fate seem to be the key elements in why one of the nation's most unusual monuments was unveiled near Elberton March 22nd. Called America.
Oberly, can you? I don't know. We need a little better communication, I think. When we speak of Elberton granite, that is a granite formation. This is the hardest. It's beautiful, but it is the most durable, hardest granite on your globe. That's why it was chosen.
Because Stonehenge, after the mysterious monuments in England, which have puzzled men for ages, the Georgia Guidestones has attracted nationwide publicity and promises to become a major tourist attraction. Overwhelming in size and steeped in enigma, the Guidestones was revealed to the nation in the winter 1979. Elberton Graniteer, and is as much a mystery now as it was then, and probably still will be when man ceases to record his history. The gargantuan six-piece monument stands 19 feet high in the beautiful hill country 8 miles north of Elberton and proclaims a message for the conservation of mankind. Its origins and sponsors are unknown, and hence the mystery. This is a very challenging project, is it not, Chilos? The components were manufactured from Elberton Granite Finishing Company, Incorporated. Pyramid Blue Granite. And the firm's president, Joe H. Findlay Sr., said the project was one of the most challenging ever for his quarrying and monument manufacturing concern, partly because of the magnitude of the materials, and partly because of the exacting specifications from the mysterious group of sponsors. And those specifications were so precise that they had to be compiled by experts on stone as well as construction. This according to Mr. Findlay. He said it all began late on a Friday afternoon in June when a well-dressed and articulate man walked into his offices on the Tate Street extension in Elberton and wanted to know the cost of building a large monument to conservation. He identified himself only as Mr. Christian. He told Findlay that he represented a small group of loyal Americans living outside Georgia, who wished to remain anonymous forever, and that he chose the name Christian because he was a Christian. He inquired where Findlay banked, and Joe put him in touch with both local banks. Wyatt C. Martin, president of the Granite City Bank, was selected by Mr. Christian to be the intermediary for the mysterious project. According to Martin, the man showed up at his office 30 minutes later, explained the project, and said after completion, he hoped other conservation-minded groups would erect even more stones in an outer ring and carry the monument's message in more languages. He told Martin that he wanted the monument erected in a remote area away from the main tourist centers. The gentleman also said that Georgia was selected because of the availability of excellent granite, generally mild climate, and the fact that his great-grandmother was a native Georgian. So Elbert County was chosen. Martin persuaded the mystery man that Elbert County was the ideal location for the memorial, and he agreed, provided a suitable location could be found. He returned later, and he and Martin inspected sites. Mr. Christian, who now called himself R.C. Christian, chose a 5-acre plot on the farm of contractor Wayne Molyneux. It is the highest point in Elbert County.
A few weeks later,
Martin contacted Joe Finley and told him that funds for the project were in an escrow account and to start work immediately. Martin promised that when the project was completed, he would deliver his file on the affair to the anonymous sponsors and that the secret would never be known. He said Christian told him that the sponsors had planned the monument for years and that the 10 guides for the conservation of mankind and the earth were carefully worded as a moralistic appeal to all peoples regardless of nationality, religion, or politics. As explained, and I would wish at some point to be able to have this information verbatim for you because it is extremely interesting, but this has just been unveiled, and therefore it is a little bit difficult for ones to come into contact with it and then come into contact with me because I want it from as human a route as I got the information so far. It's important that you ones began to really look at what is going on around you to get your confirmation and not just have me tattling ideas and touting information, even though you can go look it up. It's better if you discover it. And this information thus far has come from one called Betty Citron, who dwells in Georgia. And I'm in great appreciation for this. At any rate, this was to be a moralistic appeal to all peoples, regardless of nationality, religion, or politics. As explained in the photo essay, which we do not have, the conservation messages are in 8 languages. The guides are inscribed in 8 different languages on 4 huge stones set in a paddle wheel arrangement with the center stone carved and drilled so that the sun will mark the time of day and the seasons. The guides, which are accompanied by 10 explanatory precepts in the specification, are: maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Unite humanity with a living new language. Rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. Balance personal rights with social duties. Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. And be not a cancer upon the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. This has been given unto you ones. I would like to repeat these guides. I would like to tell you that the languages include the archaic languages of Sanskrit, Babylonian cuneiform, Egyptian hieroglyphics, and classical Greek. In addition, English, Russian, Hebrew, Arabic, Hindi, Chinese, Spanish, and Swahili. There is a very important reason for this. I believe that you are probably getting a little bit unnerved at this point. Why would such a thing need to be erected? Is it possible that your planet will become uninhabitable? And that as ones come back for special reasons from other places, they will find this and historically go in search of documents to match these various and sundry languages? Is it possible that this monument will rest in perpetuity beneath waters, beneath the seas? Because things very similar to this will now be rising from your ocean beds, even as we speak. So let's go over and look again at these guides. And let us add a little explanatory precept, as it were, so that you can get a feeling of what is intended. Maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. This means, precious ones, the entire human race at its climax level for permanent balance with nature on a planet the size of Earth. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. So without going into details as yet undiscovered by you ones, this means humanity should apply reason and knowledge to guiding its own reproduction. Fitness could be translated as health, you know. Diversity might well be translated as variety. Keep these things in mind. Unite humanity with a living new language. A living language grows and changes with advancing knowledge, you must understand. A new language will be devoted de novo and need not necessarily be adapted from any language now in existence. So please don't even plan on it being as you now recognize it. You will, for instance, have the Mayans returning, the ancient Aztecs returning, and they're going to have their own language to be integrated into whatever language will become the spoken language. And this is for the universal understanding of man as he becomes knowledgeable. You must rule passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Always, Chilos, you must act in reason according to the instructions from your Creator and according to the free will gift of reason that has been gifted unto you. So let us look. Faith herein might be used as a religious sense or in a religious sense, as in faith of that which is higher. I would say that too often people are ruled by blind faith, of which I see no reason, nor should you, because blind faith indicates blindness and lack of perception, and you have proof of higher creativity. And reason must always be tempered with compassion, but reason must be the prevailing factor. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Courts must consider justice as well as law, precious Chelas. And you have forgotten that. Let all nations rule, internally resolving external disputes in a world court. Individual nations must be free to develop their own destinies at home as their own people wish. But you may not abuse your neighbors. And the only one world government type of anything that you must have is a just world court to resolve any kind of outside dispute. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. And I cannot imagine that that is not totally self-explanatory. You must balance personal rights with social duties. Individuals have a natural concern for their personal welfare. But precious ones, man is a social animal and must also be concerned for the group as a whole. And the failure of society means failure for its individual citizens, so you must always, always have concern for personal welfare. Prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. The infinite here, precious one, means creator or the supreme being. And through that supreme being, whose will is manifest in the workings of the cosmos, can be seen if you will only seek it and receive it. And lastly, be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. That is stressed by repetition. I suggest you once listen and leave room for nature. For in your time, the growth of humanity is totally destroying the natural conditions of the earth, which has fostered all living life. You have foisted off upon it a load it cannot bear. Therefore, reason balance must be restored. I don't think really at this time, nor at any time, should I have to further explain these subjects. I have 56 journals that tells you the same thing. And now, information is being inscribed for the generations of civilizations to come after you, to be found, if that becomes necessary, by ones who have long since have departed your planet and would return in a cleansed state to re-inhabit the planet. Or if man can be brought to his senses in understanding that it need not expire as a planet, as laid forth, this will be a standing monument to guide you. There will be a place of evacuation and security in the location of this particular monument to be utilized as necessary as these plans move forward in evolvement. This is not a carelessly laid project. I suggest you pay close attention to what flows back to you regarding it, because already the adversary is trying to find ways to destroy it. He cannot destroy it. It will not be tampered with nor touched. So the next best thing is to not let you know about it. Please keep it in your hearts.
The time you've waited for has arrived. You wonder what God will do. He did exactly what he did with the one called Moses. Was that one's name Moses actually? Does it matter? Could it have been Mr. Finley? Or could it have been the one called Christian? It matters not, the labels, because infinity holds the soul, which comes from the One. And you ones wish to always take these matters and pull them into little parts that you can somehow digest, when it's the whole that has meaning. Just as you were given guidelines, lo, those many, many centuries passed, to guide you in balance as life form upon a planet, your adversary came and pulled you away from the proper direction. Always stood somewhere the emerald tablets with the guidelines. Very simple. Only 10 of them. Handled in balance would leave all life in balance. And one say, why? Why has it come to this? Because you have not followed the guides. You have chosen to vote in activities which bring all life forms into unbalance. And all life forms are everything there is. And you're related to it. You're attached to it. You cannot actually even survive without it. God again has sent forth his messengers to prepare the words again for you. It has been inscribed on the hardest stone to withstand whatever comes. There's a reason, in addition, that it is in the area of Georgia, near Atlanta. There is a massive, massive underground facility under Atlanta, utilized by your elite. That's why you ones will be finding, and have already, and may even find it rather interesting to note, why is so much attention given to Atlanta, Georgia? Why does everyone dash off to Atlanta for this, that, or the other? Why are the centers for diseases and the study of health and diseases in Atlanta, Georgia? Why would that not be in the facilities of your national government?
Excuse me, Commander. We need to change the tape, please.